pull up, get it. Live. Yeah. What's up? This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though. Right
here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else. Yeah. It's the Dolla White Podcast.
Episode 101 now, the Dolla White Podcast. My guest today, author of the new book, Enough About the Baby, A Brutally Honest Guide to Surviving the First Year of Motherhood, Becky Vieira. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Let's just start with what we think parenthood is. I'm going to say parenthood. I know your book is about motherhood, and I completely, just being honest, mothers have it way worse with a newborn than fathers can even imagine. So I recognize that. But I always say with parenthood, when I have friends that are expecting for the first time, is stop. Don't buy anything. Mm-hmm. Just expect chaos and enjoy the peace that you have right now, because it is absolute. Having a baby, it's the biggest one day, especially your first one. We only have one, but it's the biggest life change from one day to another. Like, there's nothing quite like it. Going from zero babies to one is a jump that you can't imagine until you actually make it.
Yes. And it seems like it would be so easy, right? Like, you're bringing this small human into your home who you think is just supposed to really sleep and eat, and it should be easy. And it's nothing. It's
nothing like
nothing
that.
Close to that.
No. I always tell people, you think you're adding to your family, but in fact, you are taking the life that you have. You are blowing it up. You're throwing it out, and you're never going to see it again. And you're replacing it with this new life that you figure out day in and day out. You figure out something new about your new life.
I say it's like a snow globe, right? Like, your life is a snow globe, and you shake it and you shake it, and you shake it, and then you slam it down, and nothing is, you know, it's really cloudy or snowy at first and you can't see anything. And then it kind of starts to settle, but then you realize nothing is where it was before. No. And it's never going to be that way again.
No, it's your old life is over.
Yeah.
And you've got this new life that is lovely. It's just different. And I think some people, myself included in that, had a very hard time making that adjustment. And I can only imagine how much worse it is for mothers, because a baby, I don't like saying a baby doesn't need his father, but the baby doesn't know that it needs his father when it's a baby. It only knows that it needs their mother at that point.
Right.
And so the stress, the weight, everything is almost solely on the mom, unfortunately. Yeah.
And, you know, and it's hard because, you know, so much of what I'm trying to break down is generate, like, the generations. Nobody really talked about the hard parts, you know, like, it's one thing if a dad is at a dinner party and says, oh my God, it just blew my mind. It was so hard and I'm so tired. And if a mom were to say that, people would look at her like, what did you expect? Did you think it would be hard? And, you know,
I said this last week. My wife has been home with our daughter for 2 weeks now, and my daughter's recovering from pneumonia at this point, but she's five and she only wants her mom when she's sick. Yeah. And that's it. Now, some of that had to do with me not knowing what the hell I was doing when, you know, she was first born. And I admit that. But another part of it is, I remember when I was a kid, I just wanted my mom when I was sick. And there's just something there about that. I say that to say that, like, the things that my wife had to do, I can compare them to literal torture, the sleep deprivation, the having to hold one pose and not move, holding our daughter the entire time. Like, those are literal things that people do to torture
those
people.
Are how, like, sleep deprivation is how people are tortured.
Yes.
And we go through this and we're expected to be wholly responsible for this newborn baby. Drive, if we have to drive them somewhere, you know, maybe do things around the house. In my case, I was still working. I never really took time off. So I was still riding at home. And I had a night where I hallucinated. I thought that there was a movie projecting on the wall. I saw green dots. There were no green dots there. I was hallucinating. And and you're right. This is how people are tortured.
And it all gets swept under the rug of, this is motherhood.
Yeah. Or everybody's done it.
Everybody's done it. That doesn't make it any less hard, though.
No. And everyone's unique, right? It's like, you know, just because it's like, oh, you know, you step on a piece of glass and you cut your foot open. I'm sure someone's done that before, of course, right. But does that take away from what you're going through in the moment? Or does it mean that it's not hard for you? Of course not. But, you know, as a mother, when all these things are going on and, you know, I'm tired or I'm crying or, you know, my baby won't sleep unless I'm standing upright and holding him.
Right.
And people go, yeah, yeah. Like, that's it. You know? People compare motherhood to being a martyr, right? Because it's like people feel like you always have to be the most tired or the most this. Mm. And it's not even that. I think it's just someone acknowledging and saying, yes, I've gone through that. Yes, it's horrible. And also, it doesn't need to be that way. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't do right for moms, you know, in this country and in our society in general, I think, to make it easier for them and to support them. I think we just throw so much of the weight on them because that's how it's always been.
Yeah.
And, you know, you say things like, oh, you're a superhero. You multitask. Look at you. Oh, that's so great. As in like, you got it. Okay. I'm going to, you know,
back up. I'm not helping you, but Superman doesn't need help, you know?
Yeah. Or this whole idea like, no, it's going to, yes, motherhood takes a village. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you'll have one. Don't worry. 6 years in, I'm still waiting for my village.
I always go back to this. It takes a village because I feel like as humans used to live in villages.
Yeah.
And they say it takes a village and it probably does take a village, but we don't live in villages anymore. No. So there's no village. Where's the village? Right. There's not one.
Right. Like there's not one. Way back when where someone went out and hunted and someone, you know, took care of the kids and, you know, everybody filled a role. That would be great, but
that's not where we are.
Yeah, it's not that. And even, you know, the village that our mothers had or our grandmothers had, it doesn't exist today. I mean, I remember as a kid, a bunch of us had moms who were home, who weren't working or my mom went back to work. Maybe when I was in junior high. So you've got all these neighborhood kids and you've got all these different houses you can go to, you know, instead of everybody always going to this one parent, you know, their own parents and stuff. And you right. can kind of lighten the load, you know, by sharing it. Or maybe one mom's going to the grocery store and I'll pick something up for the neighbors. We don't have that. We don't have that anymore. And it's, you know, and it's also very hard for people to ask for that because we all know how busy everyone is, right? And you think, well, should I ask that person to pick me up milk? Well, I guess I can DoorDash it. And I guess it's going to be more expensive. And I guess over the long term, it's going to be really expensive. But I don't want to put that burden on someone else.
Yeah. Now, what is the thing that since you've written this book and what is the thing you've gotten the biggest response about? Like the one thing that like maybe you said that another woman had never heard anybody say before out loud, but had definitely felt before.
You know, I think one of the things that surprises most people is the chapter about parenthood with your partner. And I, you know, kind of talk about my own story where my husband and I were deliriously happy. I thought, you know, we had a great marriage. We did. But bringing that baby in, you're both tired. You're both scared because you don't know what you're doing. I always say it's the absolute worst form of on-the-job training. It's like, thank you for taking this class. Catch. Here's your baby. Bye.
And I think for men, it's even like, I think it's intimidating because it feels like, and this might not be true, but it feels like the mother knows what she's doing. And I know I was sitting here like, okay, I was the youngest in my house. I've never been around a baby before. What is happening here? What do I do? And I probably leaned on my wife too much because
the same thing. He felt like there's a maternal instinct. I never noticed it, but he said sometimes I would pick him up and I would be able to quiet him quicker or things like that. And so it also kind of, you know, he didn't know it. Like you said, like, well, what do I do?
They give you classes. They give you classes for how to change diapers and how to, there's no class for what it really is.
Yeah.
And there needs to be one because there's just nothing there.
There's not. And it's, you know, and even like, so with breastfeeding, I talk about, you can take all the classes, you can practice the holds, they can show you how to do swaddle, you can hold a plastic baby doll up to your breast, but it doesn't mean anything. It's like if you want to learn how to swim and you're going to read books and you're going to study and do all these things, and then you're going to go to your living room and lay down on the floor and start kicking your arms and your legs, you're not swimming. You're not swimming unless you're in the water. You're not breastfeeding. You're not taking care of a baby until you have the baby. And, you know, that's hard to prepare for. But yeah, just the sleep exhaustion, the not knowing, that kind of push-pull, like with the mother maybe having, again, more of that natural instinct, the father maybe having insecurities, things don't get said or things don't get explained. Right. You might be saying, hey, can you help me with the laundry? And thinking, oh, he obviously knows. I mean, fold the laundry. And instead he's putting a new load in the washing machine and you're, what is wrong? You know, and things aren't said and resentment builds. And, you know, I didn't hear about people, their marriages or relationships taking a hit like that. And I thought, oh God, it must be us.
No.
And it's all relationships. And, you know, people don't talk about it. It's hard to be vulnerable and show your weak spots. And I think especially, you know, in
especially
your
marriage. Especially for men. Yeah. For men. I mean, it's an intimidating thing because we're supposed to, you know, societal, whatever expectations sure. is for us to be the leader and blah, blah, yeah. blah. I knew nothing about having a baby. I knew nothing. I didn't know what to do. There's still times with my daughter where I'll get in she's five and I'll be like, I don't know what to do here. Like, I mean, we're at a crossroads and I really don't know how to handle this at this point.
And you ask Siri or Alexa.
So. Yeah. Like, how should I parent my child? Exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of times couples go into, at least we did, we went into, with a plan. This is our plan. This is my responsibility. This is your responsibility. And that was just the dumbest shit we could have done because it is chaos. It's totally chaos. You cannot plan for it.
No. And you know, well, there are things like I always say there's things you do need to talk about because yes. I think a lot of people take the classes and they read the books. And so, mm-hmm. so it's great. So you're preparing to be a parent and maybe you're preparing to be a parent parallel to your partner. But you're not preparing to parent together in the sense of like co-parenting. So, you know, sometimes it's just things like, what are we going to do? How much, you know, how long are we going to try this bouncing on this yoga ball before we buy something else? Or I don't want to get up when you get up or, you know, just little right. things like that. And then, you know, you at 4 a.m. when you're exhausted and delirious and you have a baby screaming in your ear, mm-hmm. that's not the time to have those conversations. You need to have them when you're clear-headed before the baby's born. I've talked to moms who literally that first night find out from their husband, oh, I'm not getting up. Like, this is you. This is all you.
Oh, wow.
I'm sleeping in the other room. And, you know, I think a lot of us go into parenthood just assuming things with our partner. And that works for some people, but there are so many little things. I mean, a woman told me that, you know, while their child was in preschool, her husband informed her, oh, I want next year and forevermore, I want our child in Catholic school. And it wasn't even something they could really afford. And it's just kind of, you know, these surprises keep coming up.
Right.
So you really have to be on the same page about a lot of stuff.
And I was going to say that I think communication, even brutal authenticity is needed because I think men need to say, hey, look, if I would have said this to my wife from day one, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah.
I need to tell me what does support, what does help look like for you?
Yes.
If I would have said that on day one rather than, you know, 6 months down the line, we would have had a really smooth transition.
Yeah.
But there's ego gets in the way and you're like, but if I just look, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah.
What can I do to help you? You need help. How?
Yes.
How can I do that?
It's remembering that, you know, I always say it's not that the partner doesn't matter. Or in my case, it's not that my husband mattered, but there's a time where I mattered more because you've got your baby right at the top of that pyramid and the mother's right underneath it. So of course my husband mattered and his thoughts and his feelings and his sleep mattered, but you know, my needs at that time needed to matter more. And to your point, you know, finding out what support looks like, and being adaptive, like knowing that's going to change because I could go into this saying, okay, well, I support will be you empty the dishwasher, but I could come home and it could be something else.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's just being open to changing things, but being honest.
Because everything changes.
It really does. And, you know, even some women, you know, oh, well, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm going in and I have my birth plan. Well, what if you have a C-section? Oh, I won't. Have you heard of an emergency C-section? You know, you need to prepare for everything.
Man, agreed. Before I let you out of here, just your number one advice for new mothers or mothers that are expecting would be blank.
I think my number one advice would be just to find maybe like a confidant, to find someone, whether it's a friend, maybe it's someone you met online, but someone who you feel very comfortable sharing the hard truths, the days where you're like, my kid is being horrible, or I
the dark shit that nobody says out loud. Yes.
Having someone to say that to, because it's the reminder then that they can give you back that you're not alone. Right. I think so much of what we struggle with is feeling like we're failing because we don't know anyone else who had these problems. And hopefully that's what the book and this shift in conversation is going to do is, you know, we've all been there. Let's talk about the hard parts and then let's fix some of this.
Let's be realistic about this for once. Yeah, I agree. The book is Enough About the Baby. They can follow you on Instagram at Witty Otter, correct? Yeah. And Becky Vieira, thank you so much for taking time out and doing this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
And I hope your daughter feels better.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Becky Vieira. Make sure you check out her book, Enough About the Baby, and make sure you follow her on the gram as well, at Witty Otter, while you got the app open. Follow your boy at NolaWhite101, NolaWhite101. I have no idea when I'm going to have another episode. It'll definitely be next month. But we're still working on the new studio and I just got a lot going on in life right now. So new episode coming up in April. Make sure you check that out. And thank you for supporting the podcast. Make sure you rate and review no matter what platform you're listening on, and follow and subscribe as well, man. Definitely appreciate the love. Back in April, brand new episode. Thank you for listening.